The story today is from Luke. It's quite a long passage, and we're going to read it now. And I'm wondering if Jim would perhaps read that for us. It's Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, and it's on the screen as well.
Probably need a different version for you, but I'll just read from God's Word, if that's okay.
Yeah.
This is the Word of God. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still and looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying what they had seen, a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scripture?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and they said to those who were with them, he said, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Amen.
Amen. And may God add his richest blessing to this, the public reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. It's a familiar story to many of us, and there is so much that we could speak about this morning. But there are things that stood out to me. We are familiar with the story, two of Jesus' followers traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus and chatting together about the mind-blowing events of the last few days. Suddenly, another traveler joins them and asks what they've been talking about. They're quite surprised that this man does not seem to be aware of the staggering things that have been happening in Jerusalem, but nonetheless explain to Jesus who Jesus was, about his trial, his crucifixion, his death, and how the women had gone to the tomb that very morning to find that Jesus' body was no longer there, and how angels had told the women that Jesus was alive. Reading this passage, I was first struck by verses 15 and 16, which says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. To us, it would seem impossible to have walked and talked with Jesus and have not recognized him. I wonder why they were kept from recognizing him. It is implied that the men were followers of Jesus, so would have known what he looked like. It is likely that they were supernaturally kept from recognizing him. But why? It has been suggested that Jesus prevented them from recognizing him so that the conversation was not influenced by the fact that it was Jesus himself talking to them. But what can this tell us? Thinking about it, I wonder if there are times when we don't recognize Jesus. Sometimes we only recognize Jesus' influence on us or the things God has put in place for us after the event. I can think back to times when my plans have gone awry, times when I felt beset with problems or disappointments or overloaded with things that need to be done. It's really easy to recognize Jesus when we're being blessed, but it's more difficult when things are challenging. And yet somehow our faith grows and strengthens when things are difficult. And Jesus is with us at all times, especially in our difficulties. Margaret Fishback Powers was, in 1964, a young woman searching for direction at a crossroads in her life. And she wrote the well-known poem Footprints in the Sand, which we're all familiar with, but I think it deserves to be read again. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way, but I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. When we are out of strength, or don't know what to do for the best, or feel overwhelmed, Jesus steps in. But we don't always recognize this, as I said, until after the event. Sometimes when our plans go wrong, we don't get the job we were pretty certain we were going to get. When trips or events we've planned have to be cancelled, when appointments change. I remember many years ago I was due to attend hospital in Glasgow daily for a number of weeks, and the hospital I was to go to was changed. For some reason I got very worried and upset about this. However, the hospital I was changed over to turned out to be far better in a number of ways than the original one. The American poet Robert Frost wrote The Road Not Taken, and the final verse says, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. When things change and do not go according to the way we have planned them, perhaps we ought to be open to the fact that the change may prove to be better. Perhaps you can think of a time when something like this has happened to you, when some of your plans have unexpectedly changed, leaving you feeling annoyed or disappointed, but have surprisingly found the new plan to be an improvement on the old one. Instead of asking God to bless our plans, we should be asking him to show us his plans. And when things go in an unexpected direction, to remember that this may actually be God's direction. I guess it's a case of always being aware that through good times, bad times, and all those in between, we recognize that God is involved and his plans for us are ultimately good. Handley C.G. Moule wrote, "There is no situation so chaotic that God cannot, from that situation, create something that is surprisingly good. He did it at creation. He did it at the cross. He is doing it today." Sometimes we feel we're walking alone. I can remember times when I felt lost in a situation or had a difficult decision to make and didn't have anyone I felt could help. It took me a while to come to my senses and speak to God about it. Sometimes, even though we know that in dilemmas or difficulties we should first turn to God, we still try to solve the situation ourselves or speak to friends or family or seek advice from elsewhere before finally praying about it. It is good for us to remember that God is involved in our lives. His plans for us are good. And that in all circumstances, we recognize the Jesus who walks beside us. This passage is entitled On the Road to Emmaus, and I got to thinking about roads. We know about this road and the road to Damascus, which tells us about Saul's conversion. However, there are many roads. There's the road to rack and ruin, the road to riches, the road to nowhere, the high road, the low road. Why did the chicken cross the road? Rocky road, which can also be a delicious cake. All roads lead to Rome, the end of the road. Off-road, road rage, road trip, the open road. I wonder what road we're on. The men walking the road to Emmaus were traveling there for some reason. The Bible doesn't tell us why. Perhaps they lived there or worked there. And we're going there to visit friends or family to tell them all about the events of the last few days in Jerusalem. We don't know. However, their journey did not finish the way they had planned because they had met with Jesus. There are many whose life journey changed dramatically after meeting Jesus. Jacob Kashi from Singapore was heavily involved in the world of drugs, gambling, and smuggling, who, when in prison, read the story of Saul's conversion and is now a missionary in the Far East. John Vassar grew up in the mid-1800s in his family's brewery in New York, but abandoned beer-making to sell Christian literature and to evangelize. Chuck Colson was once known as President Nixon's hatchet man. He was one of the Watergate Seven and was imprisoned on Watergate-related charges. He became a Christian in 1973. This huge life change in him led to the founding of his non-profit ministry, Prison Fellowship. Matthew McConaughey, the US actor, said, "First of all, I want to thank God because it is in him that I observe. He has graced my life with opportunities that I know are not from my hand or from any other human." The Bible tells of many whose life journey changed when God stepped in. Maria Mallory White says, "It isn't Noah's plan to build an ark or Moses' plan to part the Red Sea. It isn't Joshua's plan to march around Jericho, and it isn't the widow's plan to give Elijah her last. It isn't Esther's plan to go before the king." Our lives too have changed since meeting with Jesus. Maybe not in such dramatic ways as those I've mentioned, but we all have a testimony of the ways in which our life journey has changed. Our priorities, our thinking, our weekly timetables. Before coming Christians, we were probably not at church twice a week every week, or reading daily Bible notes, or thinking of getting up at 3 a.m. to pray for an hour on our church anniversary. Some of us had a career path in mind, but ended up being a pastor. Personally, I had no ambitions to speak in public, visit Cambodia, or for a few years be church treasurer. The road we travel now is different to the road we first walked. Returning to the two men walking to Emmaus, I think it's interesting that they had persuaded Jesus to stay and eat with them. Verse 29 says, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. But when they finally recognized Jesus, it says in verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They were so enthralled by meeting Jesus and being taught by him that they paid no heed to the fact that the day is almost over and went immediately back to Jerusalem to find the 11 and share the wonderful news that it was true. The Lord has risen. Of course, we read that they did not recognize Jesus until he broke bread at the supper table. Why then? My own feeling is that after teaching the two men as they walked, Jesus knew they had grasped the truth of prophecy, who he was, and that he had to suffer before being glorified, the truth as revealed in Scripture. So now, in the safe and familiar place of a shared meal, Jesus allowed their eyes to be opened. As one commentator has written, the road to Emmaus is often seen as a model of the journey that Jesus makes with many of us today, as he opens our eyes, points to the Word, and reveals himself along life's walk as the resurrected Saviour and Lord. And when our eyes are opened to the truth of who Jesus is, things change. Think about the amazing change in the disciples. Before and after the crucifixion, they were afraid and in hiding, but after spending time with the resurrected Jesus, they became fierce evangelists. Something I read, I forget where, points out only witnessing the resurrected Jesus Christ can account for such a radical change. Today, I hope we can all look back at our own lives and recognize that meeting the resurrected Jesus has made a radical change in each of our lives. Going back to the journey to Emmaus with regard to the breaking of bread during the meal that the two men shared with Jesus, although Jesus suddenly disappeared from the men's sight, which must have been somewhat startling, surely the sense of his presence, his teaching, and companionship on the journey must have remained with them. And I am sure that whenever in the future they were breaking bread at mealtimes, they would recall their journey to Emmaus and the meal when Jesus finally revealed himself to them. And this remembrance has continued for over 2,000 years. During the Last Supper, we know that Jesus, after giving thanks and breaking the bread, said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Through our taking of communion, we remember him, his suffering for us, God's love for us, and that Jesus will return. But additionally, the taking of the communion elements help us to abide in him and him in us. This is something I had not fully grasped before, so will in future remember when we share communion together. Communion is such a sacred and precious privilege. So as we walk this road, our Christian journey, whatever stage of the journey we've reached, let us ask for our eyes to be opened so that we always recognize Jesus and acknowledge God's guiding hand. Let us always remember that Jesus walks right beside us, a true, faithful, and loving companion, and let us always treasure the privilege of sharing in the Lord's Supper. I finish with a prayer I found recently. Open my eyes that I may see the presence that is all about me. Open my ears that I may hear the voice that is quiet yet ever near. Open my heart that I may feel the love of God close and real. Open each sense, make me aware of the power and peace always there. Amen.